Okay, I would like to start by asking you to read with me Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. The book of Titus chapter 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Speak these things, and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we could be here this morning with you and with your word, in your word, studying your word, getting your word into us, to let the Word do the work of God in us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. And after reading those verses, who can kind of guess what I want to talk about this morning? Let's... That's right. Let's see. Our blessed hope. It's our blessed hope, saints. We have a blessed hope. According to that verse, verse 13, what is the blessed hope that we're looking for? What is it? According to that verse, in that verse, tells us what the blessed hope is. It's the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That, since that's our blessed hope. Now, I do know that sometimes people will say there's two things in that verse. There's the blessed hope, and there's the second coming of Christ. But when I look at that verse, the first two words are looking for. Saints, what are we looking for? Right? We're looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing. Right? His appearing for the members of the body of Christ. His coming for us to take us to be with him is a very, very blessed hope. Right? Now, Rich shared this morning that there's two programs, right? The first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, right? There's a program for heaven and there's a program for earth. And he shared about Israel's prophecy program this morning and the effect it has on us when they fell, right? Well, they have a hope as well. And they have something to look for as well. It's not the same. It's what we're looking for. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You can hold Titus. We're going to come back there. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for, see, they're looking also for something. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Wow. That's a scary looking for. We're not looking for that. We'll be glad when it comes, but we'll have an advantage point to look down on when that happens. Okay, that is not our looking for. That is not our blessed hope. Our blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. Right? And you, even Ken too. I meant especially for Ken too. I plan on doing a fair amount of pointing, so I brought my pointer. Okay. What is another name for that blessed hope? I'll give you a clue. Right? We call it the rapture. It's coming for us, the body of Christ. Now, we were talking about the word rapture a little earlier, as Sherry was, and mentioned that it's not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the Bible. That doesn't mean the doctrine's not there. The doctrine for sure is there, but the word isn't. And I knew there are some people, and I knew a person like this, who kept saying, but the word rapture is not in the Bible. Right? Right? But the doctrine is. Right? Just like, you know, we use the word triune, the triune God. Tri-three-un-one, the three-one God is one God in three persons. The doctrine is in there. You see the Father is God, you see the Son is God, you see the Spirit is God, right? But the word triune's not there. It just describes the doctrine. Just like the word Trinity, right, is not there. Well, don't let the fact that the word's not there rob you of the doctrine. This person, she began to doubt the fact that there was such a doctrine. Right? Well, okay, just call it something else then. Right? Call it what Paul calls it. Right? He calls it the catching up. Okay, let's look at that. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would, please. First Thessalonians and chapter 4. We get some really good details about our blessed hope, the rapture. Right? By the way, the rapture, when I say blessed hope, I don't limit it to the rapture. But it certainly kicks off. It starts off with the rapture. Right? Okay. We're going to read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Okay? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, okay, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, see, this rapture, this blessed hope is for those who believe that Jesus died and rose again. Right? If you've not trusted in the blood of our Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, right? I'm sorry to say you're going to stay here. You don't want to stay here. Right? You want to go when we go. But we believe that He died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. Yeah. Right? So this is for you. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died, will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be, here it is, caught up, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So if you don't want to say the word rapture, it's okay, right? But I do, and I'm going to. But you can say caught up. You can also say something else. Just turn the page over to your right, and you'll be in 2 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Okay? So our blessed hope includes our catching up, includes our gathering together unto Him. And taking us into heaven. That'll be glory. That is glory. This is our hope. And around here, we like to use the two words describing hope to be our confident, what? Expectation. Right? We are confidently expecting at any time to be caught up with Him. And it's kind of on your plane, I guess I would say, to call it a special occasion, but it's going to be a spectacular event. Yeah. Right? And even this morning, because I was invited to speak, I dress a little differently. Right? I put a tie on and a nice shirt. Well, I'm telling you, for that event, we're going to be dressed differently. Yes. Right? They say, dress for the occasion. Right? And we'll be dressed for the occasion.
Yeah.
Right? This mortal has to put on immortality. Corruptible has to put on incorruption. Right? Let's look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good. First Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start in 49. And I'm going to read down to 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Saints, we shall be changed in a moment. Sometimes when we go out, my wife and I, we're going over to somebody's house, going to an event. Sometimes we're late. Because it takes a while to get changed. Especially for you-know-who. Right? But for this event, right, it's but a moment. And we all shall be changed. It's going to be wonderful. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says that this vile body, right, is going to be fashioned like His glorious body. Right? That will be glory. Right? Well, that's wonderful. And as they say, let's get the show on the road. Right? I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes, you're ready. However, in the scriptures, there's not a defining verse which tells us what time that will be. The rapture. What time that will be. Could be any time, right? But there's no schedule like in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, Jehovah told Abraham that his descendants were going to go down into a strange land, right? 400 years. They were going to be afflicted 400 years, right? He also told Judah when they were carried away by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon that they're going to be there for how long? 70 years, right? Then after that took place, Daniel read in Jeremiah, right, that happened, and he started praying to the Lord, what's going to happen next? And the Lord gave him a schedule, right, 70 weeks of years, 490 years. After 483 of those years, Messiah would come and would be cut off. He came exactly 483 years later. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Okay. There's nothing like that for us in the dispensation of grace. In the dispensation of grace, there is no schedule telling us when that will be. But there is a sequence of events that we can look at. Right? There's an order to the events. And that's what this whole thing is here. Right? The timeline is just a sequence of events. And notice where the rapture is put. Where is it put? Right? It ends the dispensation of grace. Right. Now, it also takes place prior to what is called the 70th week of Daniel. Rich mentioned that, right? A time of wrath, right? Also called the time of Jacob's trouble, not the body of Christ's trouble, but Jacob's trouble. And the Lord called it a time of great tribulation. Well, the rapture happens prior to that. So, we call it, right, pre-tribulation. We call it the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, in Christianity, in Christendom, mostly in evangelical Christian churches, right? You know, I often wonder, why is it there is no agreement, so little agreement about the rapture? Right? Rich told you. I'll give you a clue. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? That's why there's so much disagreement. That's why there's so much confusion. In fact, there are people, good Christians, Bible-believing people, who would say that no, it doesn't happen before the tribulation. It happens mid-trib. Victory. Then there's others who say no. It's post-trib. Right? Still there are others who will say there is, yes, no trib. You know, to me, post-trib is no trib. I mean, post-trib is no rapture at all. You've gone through the tribulation, right? And there's others that say There's a partial rapture. I'm not going to go through all these, but I'm just going to mention them. Okay? And you'll see there's a problem with it. There's a problem with it. What time is it? We have time. Okay, go to Revelation chapter 12. We'll just look at a couple verses. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read the first verse of chapter 12, the book of Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Okay, verse 5. This woman brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And they say, look, it says it's caught up, right? That must be the same thing, right? Problem is that the woman is the nation Israel, right? It's the same. The woman that is clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, 12 stars, that's the nation Israel. That's the same vision that Joseph had in Genesis. He told his father and his brothers about the dream he had had. That is the nation Israel. Anyway, that is the verse. I'm going to put it over here. That's the verse that they use in Revelation 12. Oh, I should have read more. Verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. That's the same as 42 months, which is the same as 3.5 years. That's where they come up with the mid-tribulation. Halfway through the 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel, 7 years of tribulation. Right? That's basically what you read about in the majority of the book of Revelation. That's where they come up with that. How about post-rapture? They use the Old Testament book of Matthew. Please go to Matthew 24. I like saying that.
It's true.
Okay. This is a little bit more detailed, but anyway, it's good. I'm going to start in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said, okay, whenever we're trying to understand something, we want to ask three questions. Who's speaking? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? It says the disciples. But if you read in Mark, it tells you the name of the four disciples. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. That's important. These are the leaders of the little flock, the remnant, believers of Israel. And what's the context? The context is he told them that all these things are going to be thrown down, and their question is when? Right? Okay. The end of verse 6 says, the end of verse 6, we're still in Matthew 24, says, but the end is not yet. Verse 8 starts out by saying, all these things are the beginning. Right? So there's a beginning and there's an end. And there's an end. Down to chapter verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What is the end there? the end of the tribulation. It's the end of the tribulation. Right? I'll read just a little bit more. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Again, that's the end of the tribulation. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Okay. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. You see, Israel is going through the tribulation. Right? Look at verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. Who is ye? Who is in your flight? Who is he talking to? He's talking to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Right? These same people are going through the tribulation. Now, if you are one who believes that in Acts chapter 2, that is what they call, people like to call, I had a good friend of mine call it, that's the birthday of the church.
Yeah.
Right? If you believe that that's the birthday of the church, you know who's in that group that was there in Acts 2? Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Right. So if the leaders are there, and we call that the church, and we know that those four people are going through the tribulation, that just means the church is going through the tribulation. That's where they get that from. Okay, so I'm going to put post, right? Is that post? They're going through the tribulation. Matthew 24. Partial. Partial just means that some are going to be raptured at different times. At different times. Patty and I were in a group that believed that. They used the Old Testament example of harvesting a crop for their picture of the rapture. You have three parts of the harvesting of a crop. You have first fruits, you have the general harvest, and then you have gleanings. Right? So look at me, Revelation 14. Revelation chapter 14. When I'm done with this, then we're going to go and see what it really says about pre-tribulation rapture. Right? Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Back in chapter 7, it told us that this 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, 12,000 from Judah, 12,000 from Zebulun, 12,000, so on and so on. They're all Jews, right? Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. By the way, in the verse 1 where it said, lo, on Mount Zion, he's talking about the Mount Zion in heaven. So they were on earth, right, in chapter 7. Now in chapter 14, they're in heaven on Mount Zion. So they got caught up. They're first fruits. They're first fruits. Okay, verse 14. We're in Revelation 14. Verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So, you have first fruits, you have harvest, All that's left is gleaning. One problem is there's no gleaning in the book of Revelation. People that believe that, they go all the way back. There's a little book in the Old Testament that has a lot to do about gleaning. What book is that? That's the book of Ruth. Right? Right. When Ruth returns with Naomi to Bethlehem, they don't have anything. They're destitute. She goes out to glean in a field, just happens to be owned by a man named Boaz. Right? It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of the kinsman redeemer. But anyway, lots of reaping, gleaning going on there. We look in Revelation 14 and Ruth. The book of Ruth. Okay. So these are the verses that they use for mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture, and partial rapture. Do you see any problem with that? Do you see any problem here? Yes. They're all out of books that were not written to you.
Yeah.
Right? They're not about you. They're not to you. They are part of Israel's... Where's my pointer? They're part of Israel's prophecy program. Right? Saints, the rapture of the members of the body of Christ is not part of Israel's prophecy program. It's part of... Where are we? It's part of the church, the body of Christ, mystery program. Right? So you're not going to find anything about the rapture at all in those books. In the Old Testament, even in the books of Hebrews to Revelation, nothing about the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. Nothing. That's why if we don't rightly divide the word of truth, it's going to be confusion. It's going to be chaos. And you're not going to understand the rapture. Okay? So we crossed off this. It's not here. It's not here. It's not here. Bingo. It's here. Now... What apostle writes about the rapture?
Paul.
So where do you expect that we might find details regarding the rapture? Romans through Philemon. Someone there, you're going to find some details. And I bet those details are going to convince you. Like I said, there's not a single individual verse that tells you the rapture for the church, the body of Christ, is going to be before the tribulation. But if you look at the verses, you'll be convinced. I'm pretty sure. Okay, so let's go back to, we were already there, but let's go back again and take a look at 1 Thessalonians 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." By the word of the Lord. What do you suppose that Paul means by that? The actual words of the Lord. Direct revelation. It means that the ascended, glorified Christ came to Paul and told him this. Like I say, it's not there in Israel's program. Well, how do we find out about it? Well, the word of the Lord came to Paul. All right. Hold on to that and go back to, we looked at 1 Corinthians 15. I want to look at a verse here in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to come back to 1 Thessalonians. Verse 51. Behold, I show you what? I show you a mystery. A mystery. Something that was not prophesied. Something that was not told about. I don't know about you, but before I learned about right division, I heard all kinds of things from the old. I heard Enoch, he's a type of the rapture. Enoch, because he walked with God and then he was not. Right? I heard Elijah, when he was caught up in the chariot. A chariot of fire, right? That's a type of the rapture. Right? Even the big one when we first got saved was in Matthew 24, the Lord says, two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Right? Two women will be grinding, one will be taken, one will be left. That's the rapture, we were told. We just came out of Catholicism. We didn't know what rapture was. We didn't know anything. And we thought, wow, well, that's pretty cool. Later on, I read the book of Luke. And it says they were taken away for destruction. They were taken away to destruction, just like in the days of Noah. Right? Who got taken away in the days of Noah? Everybody who was not in the ark. Right? That's not a very good thing. You didn't want to be taken away. Right? Those verses, right, that's in the Old Testament book of Matthew. Right? Those verses are not talking about the mystery, because it had not been revealed until Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. And he received the words of the Lord, which nobody else had knew, because they were hidden wisdom. Right? That's a mystery. What a mystery is, it's just hidden wisdom. The Lord decided it's time to reveal that, and he did it to and through the Apostle Paul. Right? So back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. No, chapter 4. Once again, 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, we read five verses, and in those five verses, Paul used the word we three times. We. At the time that this book was written, who did that include? We. It included Paul. It included Paul. Paul saw himself as part of the body of Christ, which is going to be raptured. Does he ever make mention of going through the tribulation?
No,
he doesn't. In that case, what is not said is very important. He didn't say anything. Did the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, did he prepare his disciples to go through the tribulation period? Yes, he did. He did. He told them, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. Right? In fact, sell everything. Because it's not going to do you any good going through the tribulation. You won't be able to be involved in the economic system. Money is not going to be any good to you. In fact, when you see the abomination of desolation in the temple, run. Flee to the mountains. If you are on the roof, don't go downstairs to get your stuff. Right? If you're in the field, don't go back to your house to get your clothes, your coat, or anything. Just run. Just go. Right? There's an urgency to that. Don't you think that if we were going through the tribulation, Paul might have said something? He might have said something, but he says nothing regarding it. Yet he himself includes himself in the blessed hope, the catching up, the gathering together, the rapture of the body of Christ. And then he goes on in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, we're right there. This whole section at the end of chapter 4 is talking about, right, the rapture. Oh, where's my pointer? I brought it with, I have to use it. He's talking about the rapture of the body of Christ, the ending of the dispensation of grace, which will end the dispensation. I submit to you it ends at the end of chapter 4. Listen to what he says in chapter 5. It starts with the word but, right? Well, just, you know, sometimes we read chapters and and then we stop and then we read another chapter later on and stuff. But read the last, I'm going to read verse 18 of chapter 4, right? And then chapter 5, verse 1, right? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, but. Comfort one another with these words, but. Comfort one another with these words, but. He is making a contrast between what's going on here and what's going on here. Right? That's why the rapture's on that side and the tribulation's on this side. Right? Listen to these verses. I'm going to read five of them. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Okay. I mentioned that in chapter 4, the last few verses of 4, Paul says, we. Right. Now in chapter 5, verse 3, he says, they, them, and they. He's no longer talking about us and we. He's talking about they and them. He's talking about Israel, who is going to be going through the tribulation. And listen to the phrases that he uses in verse 1. Times and seasons. That's straight out of the book of Daniel. Okay, verse 2. The day of the Lord. The Old Testament is full of the day of the Lord. First mention is in Isaiah. Right. Thief in the night. The Lord talks about that in the Old Testament book of Matthew. Peace and safety. Then sudden destruction. That's out of the book of Jeremiah. And then travail upon a woman with child. That's in Hosea, it's in Isaiah, it's probably other places as well. Does that give you a clue as to who he's talking about? Yes, it does. He's talking about Israel having to go through the Great Tribulation. Of course, when they go through the tribulation, it's a purging process, right? To remove all things that offend, right? And he takes care of the remnant. Takes care. It's the first picture you see of something of that nature is when Moses sees a burning bush. Right? It's burning, but it's not consumed. That's a picture of Israel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They go through the fire. They get cast into a fiery furnace. When they come out, right? They don't even smell like smoke. Right? Not a hair of their head was singed, it says. Right? The fire just purified them. Right? But that's Israel's program. That is not our program. If you continue on in chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Wrath, in the context, is talking about the Great Tribulation. That's right. Also, in chapter 1, we have to kind of read 9 and 10 together. For they themselves, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us, past tense, delivered us from the wrath to come. That wrath is the day of wrath, that is the Great Tribulation. Now let me just finish by saying the dispensation of the grace of God must end before the tribulation comes. That's how we know it's pre-tribulation. It has to. Absolutely has to. Why? Well, we read, I'm just going to read it to you real quick. We read in Matthew that it says that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. So, what gospel are they preaching here? The gospel of the kingdom. I think it even says here, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached here. What is being preached? What gospel is being preached here? The gospel of grace. Now, go to Galatians. Chapter 1. This is why I say it has to end. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This is very serious. It's so serious, he says it again. The next verse. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Okay. So, during the dispensation of grace, could we preach the kingdom of the gospel? No, not unless you want to be accursed. You don't want that. Right? Will the gospel of grace be preached during the tribulation? No. It can't. There's no salvation. In fact, if you go back one more verse, Revelation, I think it's 14. Revelation chapter 14. Verse 6. The book of Revelation, chapter 14, and verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Died for your sins?
No.
Buried? Rose again the third day? In fact, Paul said, even if an angel from heaven, right? Don't you know that the person that wrote Galatians kind of knew what was in the book of Revelation, right? The Holy Spirit. These things are not compatible. The programs of prophecy and mystery are not compatible, right? One stops, another starts. This one ends, this one resumes. It picks up right where it left off. Amen. All right, I'll just say grace and peace. Over here, you've got judgment and war. Right? When the Lord comes back, he's coming back as a judge, as a man of war. Right? That tells you for sure that's over. Right? That ended. That ended with our blessed hope of being caught up, of being gathered together to be with the Lord. So shall ye ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with those words. Right? With those words. So, as Rich admonished you to do, redeem your time. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right?
Amen.
Amen. That's it. Thank you very much.